Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today to discuss One Stop Systems' third quarter results ended September 30th, 2018. With us today are the company's President and Chief Executive Officer, Steve Cooper, and its Chief Financial Officer, John Morrison. Following the remarks, we will open the call to your questions. But before we conclude today's call, I'll provide some important cautions regarding the forward-looking statements made by management during the call. I would also like to remind everyone that today's call will be recorded and will be made available for telephone replay via instructions in today's press release and the investors section of the company's website. Now I'd like to turn the call over to OSS President and CEO, Steve Cooper. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you, James, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us on today's call. Today I'd like to discuss, one, our strong financial and operational performance for the quarter, two, our recent acquisition of Bressner Technologies, and third, our updated Q4 and 2019 guidance. Our revenue in the third quarter was a record $9.6 million, up 45% compared to the year-ago quarter. This growth is almost entirely organic, as our recent CDI acquisition was included for only 1 month. Our margins also increased significantly to generate net income of $1.3 million, or 9 cents per diluted share. We're very pleased with such high growth results. They validate our vision and growth strategies and reflect our team's strong execution. We're even more encouraged by the continuing market acceptance of our products and an increasing growth outlook, which has been strengthened by two recent acquisitions, including the Bressner Technology acquisition that we announced this past Monday. Let me talk a little bit more about the Bressner acquisition. The company is based in Grobenzell, Germany, which is right outside of Munich, and they provide standard customized servers, panel PCs, PCI expansion systems. They provide manufacturing, test, sales, and marketing services for customers throughout Europe and the Middle East. Bressner has more than 700 customers, and some of their largest OEM customers include Novartis, Ipsotec, Intel, Rohde & Schwarz, BMW, and many others. Bressner generates annual revenues of approximately 14 million euros, which is about 16 million U.S. dollars. They're profitable and have positive cash flow. To acquire the company, we paid cash of 4.725 million euros, which is 5.4 million U.S. dollars, and also issued 106,463 shares of restricted OSS common stock. This stock is a two-year lockup period. This strategic acquisition greatly expands our operations internationally. Through the acquisition, we've been able to establish a strong European presence, which is key to our vision of rapid worldwide growth in the specialized high-performance computing marketplace. Bressner's founder, Joseph Bressner, and its managing director, Martin Staborski, will both continue to manage the Bressner business. As Joseph mentioned in Monday's press release, we've worked closely with Bressner for the past 10 years. They see OSS's R&D capabilities greatly enhancing Bressner's engineering capability, allowing us together to pursue a wider scope of customers looking for a high degree of customization. We both believe this acquisition is an ideal fit with our collective capabilities and creates powerful synergies that will drive the growth and global reach of OSS. With the Bressner sales, marketing, and support teams in Europe, we can further expand into the EMEA marketplace where we see strong demand for OSS computing products. Bressner's support team will allow us to offer extended service level agreements to our core customers, which we believe will make our products more attractive to the high-growth AI and deep learning customers in the region. We also announced yesterday that along with Bressner, we've recently won four major OEM design-ins for specialized high-performance computing systems. We define a major OEM design-in as an application expected to achieve an annual production run rate of more than $1 million. The new design-ins brought to us by Bressner include a panel PC, which is used as part of a laser surgery medical equipment, and a security video analysis server system. For OSS, we want a design-in for a satellite communications compute accelerator and another for a smart studio video display system for television production, concerts, and shows. These new design-ins represent state-of-the-art technology applied to specific application needs. These wins reflect that we are becoming increasingly dominant in the worldwide market for specialized high-performance computing. OEM design wins such as these also allow us to layer on long-term recurring revenue, helping OSS achieve continued high-growth results. We expect prototypes for these new customer design-ins to ship this quarter, with full production shipments beginning in 2019. Now, before I go into our outlook for the remainder of the year, I'd like to turn the call over to our CFO, John Morrison, who will take us through the financial results for the third quarter of 2018. John?
Thank you, Steve, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Earlier today, we issued a press release with the results for our third quarter ended September 30, 2018. A copy of the release is available in the Investor Relations section of our website at onestopsystems.com. Turning to our income statement, our revenue in the third quarter, as mentioned, was a record $9.6 million, up 45% compared to the year-ago quarter of $6.6 million. The improvement was primarily due to increased sales of military flash arrays, video display servers, and new OEM design-ins. Revenue also included the 1 month of revenue from CDI, which was acquired on August 31, 2018. Gross margin also increased to 32.9% of revenue as compared to 29.9% in the year-ago quarter. The increase in gross margin was due to a favorable shift to higher margin sales of flash array systems. Operating expenses increased to $3.5 million, or 36% of revenue. This compares to $2.1 million, or 32% of revenue, in the year-ago quarter. These increases are primarily due to increased costs associated with increased R&D expenses for software development, increased sales commissions associated with sales, our acquisition costs associated with CDI and Bressner, and costs associated with being a public company. Net income attributable to common stockholders on a GAAP basis was $3.1 million, or 9 cents per diluted share. This compares to a net loss attributable to common stockholders on a GAAP basis of $119,000, or loss of 2 cents per diluted share in the same year-ago period. As we discussed on our previous call, we believe our non-GAAP earnings per share and adjusted EBITDA metrics are helpful to assist in the evaluation of the company's financial performance. Please reference our definition and use of these non-GAAP terms and the reconciliation to GAAP in today's press release. On a non-GAAP basis, net income attributable to common stockholders was $1.2 million, or 9 cents per diluted share. This compares to net income attributable to common stockholders of $23,000, or less than 1 cent per basic and diluted share in the year-ago period. Adjusted EBITDA totaled $674,000. As compared to $196,000 in the year-ago period. Now, turning to our balance sheet, cash and cash equivalents total $7.1 million at September 30, 2018. This cash balance compares to $186,000 at December 31, 2017, with that increase being primarily attributable to the proceeds from our IPO, which occurred on February 1 of 2018. The cash balance at September is inclusive of the total cash expenditures for the acquisition of CDI, which consumed about $1,070,000. Now, let's move ahead to the time period ended October 31, 2018. Our ending cash balance was approximately $2.8 million, which is inclusive of the total cash expenditures attributable to the Bressner acquisition of approximately $5.7 million. At the time of the acquisition, Bressner had a tangible net book value of about 2 million euros or 2.3 million US dollars. Our expected ending cash balance as of December 31, 2018, is anticipated to be approximately $2 million. We are in the process of finalizing a new line of credit in the fourth quarter of approximately $2 million. We believe that the existing cash on hand plus the line of credit will provide adequate funding for the foreseeable future. Following the closing of the Bressner transaction on October 31st, we had a total of $14,184,167 of our total common shares outstanding. Of this total, 57.4% of those shares are eligible for free trading, with 42.6% held by affiliates. Now, affiliates include those who are members of our board of directors, senior management, and shareholders from our recent acquisitions who received restricted shares for 1 or 2 years. Those total restricted shares were 1,372,728 shares of common stock. This wraps up our financial results for the quarter. I would now like to turn the call back over to Steve. Steve?
Thanks, John. The same forces that have created the strong Q3 results will be even stronger in Q4. We're thus expecting an accelerating growth rate this quarter, Q4, and into 2019. Including Bressner, our revenue outlook is $13 to $15 million for Q4 revenues. This represents a growth of 84% to 113% over last year's Q4. In other words, we've basically doubled the run rate of our business over the last year. We expect our high growth rate and increasing earnings trends to continue throughout 2019. More specifically, we anticipate 2019 revenues to be between $54 and $58 million, or up 51 to 54% year over year. We should also remind investors that the nature of our business is such that revenue from quarter to quarter fluctuates plus or minus 15% from our plan due to variations in product deliveries and or seasonal fluctuations. As the company continues to scale up, we're also investing in the appropriate infrastructure for a larger and more sophisticated company. These investments include expanded facilities and new internal IT systems. Regarding facilities, we've secured additional facility space at our Escondido headquarters and are currently working on completing tenant improvements. We expect to move into the new space during the first quarter of 2019. Also, our recent acquisitions add facility space in Irvine, California, and, of course, Grobenzell, Germany. We're also in the process of implementing a new ERP, or Enterprise Resource Planning, system. We've chosen the Infor software package, and we expect to go live in Q2 2019. We expect this new system will provide greater operational efficiencies and support our growing worldwide enterprise as we scale the business. Now, since our goal is to be and to be recognized as a leading high-growth technology company, let me now talk a bit about the be recognized part of this. We continue to implement an investor relations outreach program that includes press releases, investor meetings, and participation in investor conferences. Over the next 2 months, there's a particular flurry of activities planned. We're planning to participate in a number of investor conferences, and in conjunction with these conferences, we're planning to visit with institutional investors in what's often referred to as a non-deal roadshow. We're scheduled to present at 4 major investor conferences across the country, starting in New York next week at the Roth Technology Conference. Then we go to Minneapolis and Chicago for the Benchmark Conference. Next, it's on to LA for the LD Micro Conference, and then on to Salt Lake City for the Roth Deer Valley event. At each of these conferences, we'll present our company and meet with institutional investors for one-on-one meetings. We hope to see some of you there. Now, with that, I'd like to open the call to your questions. James?
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing the star keys, followed by pressing the one key on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow us to know to reach our equipment. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. And we'll take our first question today from Gary Mobley with Benchmark.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. Extend my congratulations to profitability. So I wanted to get my bearings with respect to these recent acquisitions and what is implied in your fourth quarter revenue outlook and your fiscal year 19 revenue outlook. I guess if I back out the contribution from CDI and Bressner from the fourth quarter expectations and what they've been running at, you're expecting sequentially flat revenue comp on an organic basis. Am I reading that correctly?
I'm not sure what we're referring to. You're referring to the breakout of Q4's projected revenue?
Correct.
Okay. So we're expecting in Q4 revenue to be, the midpoint of the guidance is about $14 million. And of that, we would expect about $12 million to come from the traditional OSS, $1 million to come from CDI, and $1 million to come from Bressner. Does that help?
Sure. So Bressner, I'm assuming, just closed in the last couple of days.
That's correct. It was a sign and close transaction, meaning which took effect October 31st.
But just to be clear, their annual run rate is about $16 million U.S. dollars.
That's correct. It's a little unclear how much we get now in Q4. It's going to be a partial quarter, and they also have about half of December as a shutdown period. So I think we should be a little conservative about their partial quarter results, and we'll get the first full quarter in Q1 of next year.
Gotcha. And so extending that conversation to 2019, if I back up the contribution from Bressner and CDI, it looks like you're guiding organic revenue growth to about 10 to 12%. Is that too conservative?
Again, if we just look at the midpoint of the guidance we just provided, it's $56 million for the year. And if I were to break that out, I'd go $38 million for the traditional OSS, about $4 million for the CDI, and about $14 million for Bressner.
Gotcha. All right. And then with respect to gross margin and OPEX to get our bearings here, in using Q4 as a starting point, first of all, can you tell us whether Bressner is gross margin accretive, and on a blended basis, what your outlook is for gross margin in Q4, and then what your outlook is for GAAP and non-GAAP OPEX for Q4?
Regarding margins, CDI, starting there, is a little higher than One Stop's traditional margins. They run about 40% gross margins. Bressner, on the other hand, is slightly below One Stop's traditional margins at around 28, 29%. And One Stop, as we know, has been trending up, but it's currently at about 32% margins.
Okay. And so we'll call it a little bit of a downtick from OSS's traditional gross margin run rate, somewhere in the neighborhood of low 30%.
I think it'll be a little higher than that, but perhaps slightly below what we just achieved in Q3 as a percentage.
Gotcha. Okay. And then as far as OPEX contribution, GAAP and non-GAAP?
We'll have to get back to you on that one, I think.
Gotcha.
Too much guidance at this point.
All right. Sorry about that.
That's fine.
And then with respect to Bressner, how would you expect to benefit from synergies, you know, cross-selling synergies and R&D synergies between the two companies?
We think it's going to be tremendous. I've set up European sales channels in the past, and typically you spend millions of dollars in 4 or 5 years to get to the level of sophistication that we get in this one acquisition. So we're very, very pleased with that. The immediate is that they'll continue to run the business as they have, but it really gives us a strong presence throughout Europe and access to a lot of customers for the standard OSS products. And conversely, there are a number of products that have been developed by Bressner that we believe we can sell in the U.S. and other markets around the world. So there's a lot of cross-pollination synergies going on that we think will have tremendous benefit for the company.
Okay. Raytheon, for the quarter, I think you mentioned On the last earnings call, you had about $3.2 million in backlog. Was that, in fact, the approximation of the revenue contribution for Raytheon? And I think in this press release, you mentioned $2 million in backlog. So is there a sequential dip there, just maybe for various reasons?
Yes. Q3, we ended up shipping, I believe it was about $3 million in revenue to Raytheon, and our scheduled backlog is about $2 million this quarter. We do expect there to be fluctuations quarter to quarter as they continue to ramp up. But for 2019, we're expecting somewhere between $8 and $10 million in total revenue. The exact split by quarter is still being worked out.
Okay. All right, I'm going to hop in the queue, and we'll speak in a little while. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Looking forward to being out at the Benchmark Conference.
Next, we'll hear from Scott Searle with Roth Capital.
Hey, good afternoon. Hey, Steve, just quickly to follow up on Bressner, you mentioned that it was profitable.
Scott, I'm sorry, we kind of lost your phone connection. Can you repeat your question?
Just what is the EBITDA margin look?
Again, Scott, I hope you can hear us okay, but you're really cutting out. I can get only pieces of your words.
Mr. Searle, are you still there?
Hey, guys, is this better?
Oh, much better. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, my apologies. No, to follow up on the Bressner front again, trying to get an idea about what the profitability looks like. You said 28, 29% kind of gross margin, said it's profitable. Can you give us an idea how profitable or what the EBITDA margins look like?
We would expect profitability in 2019 to be approximately 500,000 euros. Everything's in euros. 500,000 euros for the full year. They do have a slight seasonality to their business, slightly light Q1, middle of the road Q2, Q3, and usually Q4 is their best quarter.
Gotcha. And following up, it sounds like Raytheon was in line for the quarter, a little bit softer in the fourth quarter, but 2019 looks like it's generally on track in that 8 million plus range that you talked about. How are some of the other designs, design opportunities for additional storage array, GPU accelerators, et cetera, within Raytheon and Poseidon specifically? How are they progressing? What's the visibility on that front?
The other one you didn't mention, or maybe it's your next question I'll answer as well, is Disguise, our video entertainment system, had an excellent Q3 and is really going crazy in Q4. We're also have won a new design that's just been announced by Disguise that will begin shipping in Q4, and we're very, very excited about the ramp-up from that product. With regard to some of the other design wins, we mentioned $4 million design wins that we just won in the last few days and weeks, so we're very excited about those. Prototyping this month, ramping up next year. At our last conference call, we commented that we had more million-dollar-plus opportunities than we had ever had, and it's really good to see that many of those opportunities are now being closed and going to move into full production, full realization. So that continues. The number of proposals has never been higher. Another anecdote that's kind of interesting is I remember when we went out on our IPO roadshow, we were talking about how proud we were that we had $10 million in scheduled backlog and that gave us comfort. I just looked at it this morning, and we currently have about $21 million scheduled backlog. Again, the company's roughly doubled over the last 12 months.
Gotcha. Hey, Steve, are there any numbers you would attach to it? I think last quarter you had said 10 to 11 million dollar plus design opportunities in the pipeline. Looks like four of those came to fruition. What is the number of opportunities in the pipeline, and what do you expect the close rate to be on some of those opportunities? Pretty good for the first quarter that you first started reporting it, but is this something where you're going to have 50% closure rate, or you think it's going to be something higher than that?
Unfortunately, I think it's a little lower than that, actually. I guess we close about a third of those million-dollar proposals, and right now we have between 15 and 20 outstanding But I would say we should only count on closing about a third of them. And then obviously we continue to drive our sales team to close a higher percentage, but history would say about a third.
Okay, and last question, just to follow up on the disguise front. You know, certainly sounds like third quarter ramped up seasonally very strong. It looks like that's continuing. What's your outlook and your thought process of how it's factored into your guidance and numbers for 2019? Is disguise a growth opportunity going forward? How do you think about 2019? Thanks.
We're being a little bit cautious at this point. This year, as you may recall, in Q1 and Q2, they were pretty flat. And then now have exploded in Q3 and Q4. For the year in total, they end up growing 30% from the previous year. So pretty good growth here for them, pretty good growth here for us as a result. I would, at this point, we're modeling them basically flat next year, but they are a rapidly growing company, and they're introducing new products that we've designed for them. So there's definitely potential to see significant increases next year as well.
Great, thanks. We'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Michael Potter with Monarch Capital Group.
Hi, guys. Congratulations on a solid quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Steve, I'm just trying to understand, I guess, a little bit. I'm a little confused. Same thing with Benchmark and Roth in regards to the numbers. When I look at the guidance from the beginning of the year versus where we are now and the guidance going into 2019, that did not include two acquisitions, Bresner or CDI, and now we have those two to layer on top of it. It seems as if you're not looking for really much organic growth at all for 19 versus 18. Is that correct?
We will, if we're looking at about $38 million next year, Nauticon and the others will end up at what, 34-ish this year. So there's $4 million growth modeled in to the $56 million number for 2019. It could be quite a bit higher than that. So it's definitely a growth year, we believe, but perhaps not as much as it could have been or could possibly be. That's correct.
Okay. So you're anticipating a slower organic growth rate for 19 versus what we've seen for 18 versus 17.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. The Bresner acquisition, how much of their revenue was intercompany?
About 800,000, I believe.
Okay.
A bit lower than that, they're telling me, about 500,000.
About 500,000. And was their business a backlog business?
It's a mix. They have major OEM customers, several of the ones I read off, who will order an entire year, in some case 18 months in advance. And so they do have a substantial backlog for those long orders. But that's probably their top 5 or 10 customers that do that out of 700 total. The rest of the customers typically order and take delivery within a 1 or 2 month period.
So what is our current backlog?
Roughly $5.5 million.
$5.5 million.
Yeah, that's in euros again. Sorry, 5.5 million euros, and current exchange rates roughly 1.14.
Okay. So. And do they have any long-term contracts similar to us with Raytheon?
Yes, they do. In particular, the contracts with Novartis and Ipsotech are both long-term contracts. I believe they have several others with those other customers, but I would have to double-check that.
Okay. One thing you didn't comment on was, at least I don't remember hearing, was our cloud offering. How's that doing? Are we seeing a revenue ramp with that offering yet?
No, that's one of our disappointments for the year. It has not proceeded as expected. We're struggling with exactly what to do with that going forward.
Okay, are you contemplating shutting it down?
Yes.
Okay. And we had a how much was the loss from that operation for Q3?
We'll have to look at it. Again, One Stop only owns half of it.
For the quarter, it was a $204,000 loss.
For that division,
total,
okay.
Of which One Stop gets half of that.
Okay, and then and for the 9 months.
9 months, $369,000.
Got it. Okay. Stephen, one other comment. We were involved in the public offering at the beginning of the year, and now we're November 8th, and our stock is about half the value it was when you guys came out. It's extremely disappointing, obviously, for what is a growth company and an area that has been, one of the attractive areas in the markets this year. What do you think? Where do you think the disconnect is between the capital markets perception of the company and the actual value of the company or the execution? Or is there a disconnect, I guess?
Well, I think there's a major disconnect. I think two things are happening that is my theory of what's going on. Because I think there is a huge disconnect. The company is growing and doubling in size, and the stock is going the opposite direction. On a purely financial multiple perspective, that doesn't make any sense. I think the two things that are happening, though, is once our lockup expired for the legacy shareholders, I believe we have legacy shareholders that are choosing to sell and putting downward pressure on the stock. Obviously, the stock is thinly traded, so... Even a relatively modest amount of selling can move the stock quite a bit. Secondly, our first half was slow. Our results were slow, although we were foreshadowing these great Q3 and great Q4 numbers that we're now achieving. I think there's a bit of a show-me phenomenon going on. I'm optimistic that now that we're actually doing the things we said we were going to do, grow rapidly in the second half, increase margins, do acquisitions, that has an effect. And then the third aspect is it's not only having a good message, but it's effectively communicating it to new investors. And we've done quite a bit, been to several conferences earlier in the year, but now that we have the really strong message plus this flurry of conferences and mini roadshow, I think that'll have a positive effect.
Okay. Well, listen, as one shareholder, I certainly hope that the communication improves because I think it's been pretty poor so far. And I know it takes some time to get used to being a public CEO. It's very different than being a private CEO. Are you ready to be a public company CEO?
I believe I am. I'm thoroughly enjoying it, and I think the IPO process was quite successful. I'm looking forward to this non-deal roadshow. We need to do both. One is execute the strategy and show great results, plus to be recognized for that, appropriately communicate that, particularly to the institutional investment community. And I think we're going to be doing a lot of that over the next couple of months.
Very good. I'll get back in queue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, press *1 if you have a question. We'll now hear from Rudy Miller with Miller Capital.
Guten Abend, wie geht's, Herr Cooper? What did you do? Rudy Miller here, Steve. That was my alter son from Germany, so... He's been Freiburger, so I have to be a little bit on the Deutschland side. First of all, I'd like to thank all the previous folks who addressed you questions and gave summary commentary, because 85% of my questions were asked by the previous investment bankers and analysts involving the company, so I will keep mine kind of short. I don't know, Steve, I'm glad you were having fun, but from an investor point of view, they're not having fun as with the results to date. But going forward on that, when I have a couple of questions, I want to thank you, John, the CFO, on giving the cash analysis of after your two acquisitions, the amount of cash you guys had. And of course, last year you had almost 9 months of the earnings percentage on your cash a little bit now. Interest rates are clicking up, and certainly the Bressner acquisition, if you look at the $16 million going forward in 2019, and also, you know, take out what the profit margin would be on that company, even you reverse out to euros, it's not a very high margin situation. Now, one thing it appears to me from hearing about Bressner is that you really have now hired more salespeople, and there is some cross selling. Sometimes that's over optimistic with some transactions, but I do see like you're getting a stronger footprint in that endeavor, and I think it's very helpful to the overall company. On the cash basis, let me go into the cash, and I had the same questions, and I ran the same numbers analytically that the other speakers did on your actual true organic growth to what the core business is and your acquisitions. So getting into a strategic aspect of it is, now that you're down to roughly $2.1 million, you used up a large majority of your capital for acquisitions and, of course, associated expenses. But now going forward is, you really don't have a lot of cash, and with the stock being down, and second, with shareholders that are potentially could be out of their stock positions in as little as 3 to 6 months and some longer, you've got a fair amount of selling. And anytime you see insiders, whether smaller company employees who've worked for the company for years, and you understand why someone would sell their stock, it doesn't get a lot of confidence to other investors in the company when you see that, for whatever the reasons they've been into it, and that's their position, and that's up to them, and we all take a risk. No one put a, you know, no one made us buy the stock, certainly. But you do look flat from all the numbers we've run regarding your growth if you take out the two acquisitions that you talked about, and you only have $2.1 million cash. So in your numbers next year, for you to make acquisitions, you'd have to finance them primarily with debt if they're of any reasonable size, if you can do that, and or give paper that's got a dilution factor built into it over the next 6 or 12 months from my perspective, from older insiders and others, and including your first acquisition with Magna is a pretty large amount of stock sitting there at $1.3 million. So that's a bit of a concern for me on your cash position, that you won't have the ability to make acquisitions next year unless you leverage it with debt. And some of these acquisitions are great gross revenues, but they don't look like overly strong cash flow and profit margin from what little information I have publicly. And I could be totally wrong on a portion of that. So I think that is a concern for me, because I really, every time, there definitely is selling pressure on the stock, and we all bought ours at $5 a share. We averaged down and bought a little less than that, down into the high threes. That is a disappointment. And I think the key is that I think, as the previous speaker said, the communication with the shareholders, and I did appreciate your call to me on some deals, and also John when I had a couple of generic questions too, and I do appreciate that. But I'm looking for either the cash flow increase, or how would you, I'm assuming you always talked about the acquisition strategy, how would you finance future acquisitions, or do you see 2019 as really digesting what you've acquired, making it more profitable through a combination of synergies with the companies that you've acquired for 2019, because you're certainly not going to have the cash unless you go out and get some good leverage financing. We know interest rates are not going down. So that's just really a comment. If you can get any additional commentary, because I think you've answered 85% of the other things already, and I'm glad to see you are doing the conferences and communicating, because it has not been a good communication story. And certainly, when the market goes down a lot, we don't expect you to be the Rock of Gibraltar either. So you can, but you guys are in charge of executing the strategy. And if 2019 is only X, we're trying to look at this over the next 6, 12, and 18 months from my perspective. So if you can add any other color, you've already answered most questions. Those are my concerns, and my question is about, I can't really see how you're going to make acquisitions in 2019 without a lot of debt from someplace. So if you can help me on that, understand better, I'd be appreciative. Thank you.
Yeah, the element I didn't mention is that we believe the appropriate action right now is to take a strategic pause in terms of doing new acquisitions. These two, because deals happen when they happen, happen to come fairly close together, and there's quite a bit of digestion, absorption, integration, whatever term you want to use, and we want to do that right so that we get the full value of all the synergies and also grow each of those businesses. So just regardless of the funding, we want to take a strategic pause. I do not anticipate actively pursuing another acquisition at least for the next 6 months, perhaps for all of 2019. I do believe that once some of this legacy shareholders flush its way through the market and we do the roadshow and this and that, that I believe that our stock value will more appropriately reflect the new company, and our growth and profitability will be more appropriately reflected in the market. For example, if you look at where we might be a year from now as a $56 million company with increasing margins, increasing profitability, positive cash flow, and you say what's an appropriate public company valuation for that company, I think you could certainly rationalize that it'll be quite a bit higher than today's value. So I'm optimistic for that. But to directly answer your question, I think both for strategic, we need to absorb these companies before we do more acquisitions. And then for the practical side of also we don't have funding, and to achieve funding might be problematic. For both those reasons, we're going to take a strategic pause regarding new acquisitions.
Well, Steve, I appreciate your comments, and I also think a year of maturity as a CEO will be helpful to you as you get comments like the other investment community has made to you, and as you get on your roadshow, and I'll tell you what the value will be of your company. It's pretty easy. It'll be what the market thinks it's worth, and then that's all measurable. So thank you for your time, and still support you, but we're disappointed, but we still support you.
Understand and appreciate your support, Rudy.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
As a reminder, press star 1 if you have a question. We'll pause for a moment. At this time, this concludes our question and answer session. I'd now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Cooper. Sir, please proceed.
Thank you, James. And thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We look forward to talking to each of you in the future and reporting on our progress. Meanwhile, please feel free to reach out to myself or John at any time. Thank you, everyone. Operator?
Thank you. Now, before we conclude today's call, I would like to provide the company's safe harbor statement that includes important cautions regarding forward-looking statements made during today's call. OneStop Systems cautions you that statements in this press release that are not a description of historical facts are forward-looking statements. These statements are based on the company's current beliefs and expectations. Such forward-looking statements include those regarding the company's 2018 financial outlook and expectations for 2019 revenue growth generated by new products, design wins, or M&A activity. The inclusion of such forward-looking statements and others should not be regarded as a representation by OSS that any of its plans will be achieved. Actual results may differ from those set forth in this press release due to the risks and uncertainties inherent in our business, including without limitation that the market for our products is developing and may not develop as we expect. Our operating results may fluctuate significantly, which would make our future operating results difficult to predict and could cause our operating results to fall below expectations or our guidance. Our ability to successfully integrate the operations, systems, technologies, products, offerings, and personnel of acquired companies may prove difficult and adversely affect our financial results. Our products are subject to competition, including competition from the customers to whom we sell, and competitive pressures from new and existing companies may harm our business, sales, growth rates, and market share. Our future success depends on our ability to develop and successfully introduce new and enhanced products that meet the needs of our customers. The likelihood of design proposals becoming design wins is uncertain, and revenue may never be realized. Our products fulfill specialized needs and functions within the technology industry, and such needs or functions may become unnecessary, or the characteristics of such needs and functions may shift in such a way as to cause our products to no longer fulfill such needs or functions. New entrants into our market may harm our competitive position. We rely on a limited number of suppliers to support our manufacturing and design process. If we cannot protect our proprietary design rights and intellectual property rights, our competitive position could be harmed, or we could incur significant expenses to enforce our rights. Our international sales and operations subject us to additional risks that can adversely affect our operating results and financial condition. If we fail to remedy material weaknesses in our internal controls over financial reporting, we may not be able to accurately report our financial results. Another risk described in our prior press releases and in our filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, including under the heading Risk Factors in our annual report on Form 10-K and any subsequent filings with the SEC. You're cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements, which speak only as of the date of this press release. We undertake no obligation to revise or update this information to reflect events or circumstances after the date hereof. All forward-looking statements are qualified in their entirety by this cautionary statement, which is made under the Safe Harbor provisions of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Before we end today's conference, I would like to remind everyone that this call will be available for replay starting later this evening through November 22nd. Please refer to today's press release for dial-in and replay instructions available via the company's website at ir.onestopsystems.com. Thank you for joining us today. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.